Good morning, everyone. Our Bible reading for today comes from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 to 13, verse 13. If you've got your Bible, I would encourage you to open up. All right, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 to 13, verse 13. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, next, miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, leading, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But desire the greater gifts, and I will show you an even better way. If I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions, and if I give over my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not arrogant, is not rude, is not self-seeking, is not irritable, and it does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, as I am fully known. Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And our text verse for today comes from John 13, verse 34 to 35. I give you a new command, love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Good morning, everyone. What an interesting start. So, Herman, let us pray for Herman and for the sermon. Father God, what a privilege it is to gather together as a church, Lord, as a body of Christ, each gifted in its own way, each individual, both here and those listening in. And yet, Lord, today we come here united. We come here to worship you. We come here, Lord, to hear from you. And we thank you for Herman, Lord, and his faithfulness to preach your word. Lord, we thank you for the words that you have placed on his heart. We pray and ask that you will please bless and anoint his lips to bring forth your word. Lord, as he has prayed earlier, may what you hear and see here today be joyful to you, Lord. And Lord, as Tim has prayed, Lord, we pray that you will please bless this sermon for each one of us. May we go away here, Lord, filled with your word. May we all receive a spiritual feeding, knowing, Lord, of your great love for us. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hello, I think somebody's pinched my sermon. Good on you, Tim. Thanks, mate. Believe me, I can't. We're starting off well here today, aren't we? I'm really glad that God has a sense of humour. When Jesus walked on this earth, he was just as human as we are. He didn't kind of float above the rest of humanity, remaining untouched, but was just as prone to all the feelings, all the concerns, cares, pains that the rest of us have. When the soldiers spat on him and jeered at him, he felt just as insulted and degraded as we would have been. When a loved one was in pain, he felt just as emotional as we would feel. When the nails were driven through his hands and his feet, he felt just as much pain as we would have felt. And when he was tempted in the desert, he was tempted just as much as we would have been. Jesus, our God, was 100% human. So when he gave us his new commandment, he wasn't giving us an impossible task. No, he was only asking of what he, as a 100% human being, asked of himself. And nor did he give it to us as an extra burden to carry, but as a way of relieving us of our burdens. For when we do love one another, we experience joy and peace and comfort instead of anger, frustration and animosity. We can join in sweet fellowship with our family in Christ rather than being isolated from each other. He gave us this commandment for two main reasons. One, to help us to support and encourage one another, to build each other up in faith. And two, to build his kingdom by helping us in reaching out to the lost. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. If we show a united, loving church, a church that is the envy of the world around us, it becomes much easier to bring people from the world into the fellowship than it is with a church that's divided and fighting among itself. He gave us this command for our good. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Love us to start at home. Love us to start among brothers and sisters, family in Christ. For if we can't manage to love one another, how are we going to demonstrate love to the world? So what does it mean to love one another as Christ loved? How did Jesus love? He loved by not condemning, but by forgiving. Giving others another chance. When Peter betrayed him three times after Jesus' arrest, he didn't hold it against him, but forgave him. He gently restored him so that Peter became one of the strongest pillars in the early church. Jesus had every right to condemn him. He had the authority to condemn him. But he chose to forego that right and instead used his authority to forgive, to show mercy, to be gracious, to restore. He loved by sacrificing himself for the sake of others. And there's no greater demonstration of that than his death on the cross. In his relationship with his people, he chose not to demand that we live lives of perfection, nor that we pay for the sins that we've committed, but instead shouldered the burden of our sin himself. And although he didn't have to, he chose to pay the price that we couldn't pay. He loved by not taking insults to heart, but by overlooking them, as he did with the Samaritan village that refused him entry. His disciples became indignant on his behalf and wanted to mete out punishment to those who would insult their Lord and Master. He took the insult without complaint, without retaliation, and even rebuked his disciples for wanting to. He loved by healing the sick, raising the dead, and feeding the hungry. All who came to him for help, he helped. He didn't turn anyone away, nor did he refuse any reasonable request that he could grant. He was never out of reach. He was never too busy or too tired to graciously give his attention to anyone who sought it, but was always available to everyone. He loved by making sure that his disciples were protected by standing in the breach himself. When the soldiers came to arrest him, he made sure that none of them were arrested as well. Where it was within his power, he made sure that there would be not be any fallout from what happened to him that would have an adverse impact on his disciples. He loved by seeking others' well-being ahead of his own. After hearing of the death of John the Baptist, Jesus mourned for him and sought to be on his own for a while. But when he saw the crowds like sheep without a shepherd, his compassion overrode his own needs and he ministered to them. He loved by humbly seeking the will of the Father in all things rather than seeking his own. He constantly communicated with the Father. He regularly spent time in prayer, sometimes right throughout the night. He stayed in tune with the Father so that he was always ready for whatever came his way. He was never caught off guard, but was always ready and able to respond with wisdom, with compassion, and with composure, even when challenged by those who would oppose him. He loved by never letting his ego, his pride, get in the way of his mission here on earth. He was willing to make himself nothing so that we could be raised up to be accepted as children of God. No task was too mean for him. He willingly washed the feet of his own disciples, a task that even his disciples didn't really want to do. He put himself in the shoes of the lowly so that he could elevate them above their mean position. He loved by never seeking to force his will on others, even when he knew they were wrong. Even when debating with the religious authorities, he pointed out their mistakes with grace, without seeking to put them down, to belittle them. He used the scriptures as the basis for his arguments and invited them to check what he said against those same scriptures. He loved by suffering humility and pain for the sake of God's kingdom rather than responding with power. He had more than 12 legions of angels at his disposal, any one of whom could have destroyed all those who opposed him. But out of obedience to the Father, and for the sake of those he came to save, he chose to suffer rather than his own comfort and well-being. He loved by living a life of servanthood and grace, making himself available to everyone, even the vilest sinner. In everything he did, and with everyone he met, he showed grace no matter who they were. Even when frustrated and angry, he controlled himself. Even when he told those who opposed him what he really thought of them, he never forgot who he was, who he represented, and refused to use his power against them. He loved by submitting to those who had authority over him and not seeking to undermine that authority or defy it. When he spoke about the priests, he encouraged the people to listen to them and obey them, even though they were not to emulate them. He never denied the authority they had, nor did he seek to usurp it. Jesus' love was unconditional. He didn't say, I love you as long as you do as I say. I love you as long as you agree with me. I love you as long as you don't embarrass me. I love you as long as you don't hurt me. I love you as long as you love me in return. Jesus says, I love you. Full stop. No conditions. And he's the one who says to each one of us, love like me. Love like me. How seriously do we take this commandment? Do we put it right up there with the Ten Commandments? Or do we regard it as a lesser commandment? One that doesn't need to be taken so seriously. Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, Almighty God. As the Apostle John says in the opening chapter of his Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that was created. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. From the very beginning of time, Jesus was with the Father. He was with the Father at the creation. He was with the Father in the Garden of Eden. And he was with the Father when Abraham was set aside to establish the nation of Israel. And he was with the Father when Moses received the Ten Commandments. Should we think any less of his new commandment than any other God has given us? No, this commandment is just as important, just as valuable as any other. In fact, this commandment is an affirmation of the greatest commandment of all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second like it, love your neighbor as yourself. When Jesus gives as a commandment, we'd better sit up and take note. For this is none other than a commandment from God. And note that he didn't just give it to us for our benefit. No, he gave it to us for the benefit of all humanity. By us following his command, we are shining our light into the world. Jesus died for the world to save the world, and he has left us here to do his work through the Holy Spirit. For God so loved the world, and he has entrusted us with the great responsibility of demonstrating that love to all who do not believe. Listen to Jesus' prayer in John 17. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. May they also be one in us, so the world may believe you sent me. So the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me. May they be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they be made completely one, so the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. When we fail to show love to one another, it doesn't only affect us. It affects all those who do not know Jesus and are in danger of being condemned for all eternity. So yes, we may be aggrieved and we may be wronged. We may feel that mistakes have been made. But think of the consequences if we refuse to love one another as Jesus loved us. Let's remember that the burdens we bear. Jesus calls us the light of the world. How can the light shine if we refuse to be light to one another? Let's remember that the burdens we bear, the burdens of hurt, of pain, of feelings of injustice, of insult, whether they are real or perceived, do not have to be carried by us alone. We're invited to give all these things over to our Lord and Master, our Father and our friend, who will help us to deal with them. Jesus calls us to surrender all to Him. This doesn't just mean our time, our wealth, our earthly goods. No, it means our whole life. And that includes all these other things as well. When we feel hard done by, we usually want to take matters into our own hands. But when we hand these things over to our Lord, He will give us the strength to deal with them, the love to be able to forgive, the wisdom to fully understand where our understanding may be flawed. We're all human, and we're all prone to understanding things in ways that may be far from how they were actually meant. Often our pride can get in the way and we don't really want to understand things in any other way. But if we surrender all to Jesus, He will give us peace, allowing us to see beyond our pride. If we truly love one another, we can forgive one another. The gift of forgiveness is one of the greatest gifts given to us by our God. Not just to be forgiven for all our sins by Him, but also to have the ability to forgive others. For it is in forgiveness that we are set free ourselves. As long as we fail to forgive, whatever the issue or whoever the people may be, those issues or people will control us. They will always colour our attitudes, influence our decisions, and darken our thoughts. But once we have truly forgiven, none of that will have any hold on us anymore. Let's not allow the evil one to gain a foothold. As Paul says in Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Jesus calls us to put God first, others second, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, and ourselves a distant third, just like He did. He put God first, and He put others before Himself. And so He encourages us to be like Him. And He says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. With these words, our Lord Jesus challenges us to show our love for Him. So it then follows that if we fail to love one another, we fail in our love for Jesus. Brothers and sisters, let's never be guilty of that. But let us rather be wronged than cause our Lord Jesus grief. Love is the cornerstone of Jesus' message to us. The love of God for us all, a love so deep that He sent His only begotten Son to die for us so that He can lavish His love on us for all eternity. And to show that we understand that message, Jesus calls us to imitate Him and love as He loved. St. Francis of Assisi, the founder of the Franciscan Order of the Catholic Church, wrote a hymn that came from his heart. One that we still regularly sing, called Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. It encapsulates the life that Jesus calls us to live. The emphasis is very much on the self, the me, how I live and how I respond to what happens to me. What others do, how others respond, how they treat me isn't what's important. That's between them and their Lord. No, what I need to concern myself with is what I do, how I respond. That's what Jesus is interested in. This is what Jesus meant when He said, love one another as I have loved you. The hymn says, where there is hatred, let me, the emphasis being on the me, bring love. Where there's injury, pain, hurt, let me give pardon as you would pardon me, Lord. Where there's despair, let me be the one to bring hope. Where there's darkness, let me be the one to bring light. Let me bring your joy, dear Lord, into sadness. Because when we pardon, we receive pardon ourselves. When we give, we receive as Jesus promised we would. Help me to console others before seeking to be consoled myself. Help me to try to understand others before demanding that they understand me. To love others before seeking to be loved myself. It's all about putting the other first before self, just as Jesus did. Now we'll do what we have been doing for the last number of weeks, and just go into a few small groups, and there'll be some questions up on the screen, so you can have a little discussion. We'll give you about 8 minutes, and then we'll stop and we'll go on. Okay. Thank you. Okay, we may need to draw this discussion to a close now. Okay. So now let us sing this hymn that St. Francis wrote, but not just as another hymn, but let's sing it as a prayer to our Heavenly Father. Please think about what it is that we're actually singing and seek God's help to bring it about in our lives. Let us pray together as we sing. Make me a channel of your peace. Shall we sing?